And all God's people said, amen. Appreciate that. I know it's hard to look at the faces. He stands up here like he's scared to death, and I understand. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy, please, chapter 3, where we've been. And we're going to spend time specifically on this passage this morning as we've been looking at the Word of God. And, of course, the background, I'll lay it out in a moment. Beginning in verse 14, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "But thou, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Let's pray. Our Father, I do thank thee for your word. And we do thank thee so much for the privilege to spend time studying this passage this morning. And Lord, we just ask you to help us to love your word. And Lord, help us to learn your word. And Lord, help us to go forth and live it. And Lord, help us to realize that we can totally trust it because it is true. And Lord, as we spend time on the topic this morning, may we be challenged, and Lord, may we grow, and may we be able to be used this week. We ask in Jesus' precious name, amen. As we spend time on, and of course, I'll probably ask it this way, what's your most prized or most valuable possession? Well, I think some of us would probably say it could be our house, it could be a car, it could be gold, it could be silver, it could be our stocks, I don't know. Some people like weapons. I know Scott likes to have a weapon or two. Whatever your prized possession is. But I want to say the most valuable possession that you have in your hand is the Word of God. You will not be able to, in this lifetime, measure its value. And that's why we've been spending some time on the Word of God, laying a foundation, because how I'm going to grow this year is going to be in direct proportion to how I learn and what I do with the Word of God. And so we spent time, first of all, we spent the first message on how we got our Bible. It is God's revelation, it's God's inspired revelation, and it is God's preserved revelation. Then we spent three messages on the evidence that proves that the Bible is true. And we spent time laying out several things. One was the Bible claims of itself to be God's Word. Jesus Christ claimed that the Bible was the Word of God. The biblical writers claimed that they were writing God's Word. 3,000 times they say, "Thus saith the Lord." The unity of Scripture proves that the Bible is God's Word. Science also proves that the Bible is God's Word. History proves that the Bible is God's Word. Fulfillment of prophecy proves that the Bible is true. The inexhaustibility of the Word of God proves it is God-ordained. Also, the relevancy of the Bible proves that it's the Word of God. Also, the impactability, the impacting of people's lives, proves that it is God's Word. And lastly, we brought out the indestructibility of the Bible proves that it's truly God's Word. Now, we're going to spend time on this morning, and that is this topic: the importance of God's Word to us. In other words, how important is God's Word to you? Well, Paul tells Timothy how important it really is. It is extremely important. And I think in heaven we're going to understand how important it is and how blessed we were to live in America where we could hear the Word of God. But the reason that you'll find, he brings out basically three things as he lays out the importance of the Word. First of all, it is important because it's all inspired. It's all inspired by God, and we brought spent time in the first message. As you know, God used men, holy men of old. He used 40 men to write over 1,600 years. They wrote down the Word of God, and it was absolutely without error, even though it revealed their personalities. It was without error in the original manuscript. It is God's Word. It's God-breathed. And that's what the Word in all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's inspired of God.
God gave us this book, and that's what we brought out. Also, you'll find 1 Peter chapter 1, how did this happen? He says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation or private origin, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were borne along by the Holy Spirit. It is holy men of God were so moved by the Spirit that of God that using their own literary style, they wrote down without error God's words to man in the original manuscript. That's the definition. And so Peter could write also in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. He could say clearly, plainly, the word of God. This word is his word, and it's going to endure forever. Why? Because it's his word. And that's how Jesus Christ could say, thy word is truth, John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. It's absolutely true. Why is it important? It's because it's God-breathed. Now, you'll hear, if you watch the news, all kinds of speculation, and they discuss every item from 25 different angles. They're speculating. Well, you don't have to speculate about the Bible. The Bible is God's inspired word, and what it is God revealing himself to us. Second of all, it's not only God inspired, but it's also all Scripture, it says, is profitable. Now, you'll note, he says, all Scripture in verse 16 is given by inspiration of God and is profitable or valuable, or he would say beneficial. In other words, the whole Bible that is given to us, it's all beneficial. And it's important for us to understand, as the Lord used the Apostle Paul to write in 1 Corinthians, that all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for us for our admonition unto whom the ends of the world has come. What Paul is saying, and the Lord is telling us, all of Scripture was given to us to teach us and to instruct us, so all of Scripture is valuable. It's all profitable. From Genesis to Revelation, every aspect of the Word of God is valuable to us because we learn the things that we need to know. We learn about God. We learn about life. We learn about the future. We learn about eternity. And if you take the Bible has basically, you'll note, the first few chapters, Genesis, you'd find, gives us the book of beginnings. But you take book of Genesis through Esther, except Leviticus, is you find God bringing man to being, God's creation. We find the power of God and how he just spoke and created. We also find then the promise of the Redeemer in chapter 3. And we also find then the history as mankind unfolds, Cain and Abel, etc. As man, we find that in the first chapters of Genesis through Esther. We find creation, we find the fall, we find the flood, we find the calling out of his people in Genesis chapter 12. We find biographies of great men. And so this is all given to us, and it's important to us to know God's working. History is God's working with man. It is his history. It's God's work with man. You'd also find then Leviticus and, of course, sections of Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and Leviticus. You know those books have in them the law. You say, what's the importance of the law? Well, the law was given to show mankind their absolute need of a Savior. Now, the Savior was promised in Genesis. But God gave them the law to show them the absolute righteousness of God and the unrighteousness of man, because man could not keep the law. No matter how hard they tried, they could not keep the law. The law showed that God was absolutely righteous, but it showed that man was absolutely sinful, and man could not keep the law. They needed the Savior. Also, you'd find that the righteousness of God is revealed. Also, the wickedness of man is revealed, and also the need of a Savior, and also the work of that Redeemer is given to us in the law. We're able to see what the Messiah would do. He would have to die to pay for the sin of the world. Then you find another section of the Word of God, and that is Job, through the book of Song of Solomon. That we call poetry and wisdom. In the Psalms, and of course, you find a tremendous imagery, and a poetry abounds where we magnify and exalt God and His work. In the wisdom, we find in the Proverbs, we're able to find principles for daily living. We find the wisdom of God and the principles for daily living. Then we find Isaiah through Malachi, which is the prophets, the major and the minor prophets. We find prophets prophesying of things that were close. They were close at hand, but also things down the road. And so you can take the Old Testament, and you'll find each of these are given, not only historically giving us the events of God's history, but also teaching us living, how we can live and please a holy God. Then you find the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospels, we see the life of Christ. We're able to see this Messiah who was promised in Genesis. His work was pictured throughout the Old Testament and also prophesied when he would come or where he would come and what his work would be. We find his life. And in John chapter 1, you find John says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Points him out to his disciples. This is the Messiah we've been looking for. And we find his life, his birth, his living, his life, his ministry that took place, and then his substitutional death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. And so we find that in the Gospels, the life of Christ. Then you also find, is after the Gospels, is the Acts. Acts is the Acts of the early church. It's the Acts of the Apostles. And you're able to see now the church come on the scene in the book of Acts. And we find God's power in the powering the church to literally evangelize the world. And we're able to see it go forth in power. We're able to see the people make that transformation from the Old Testament Hebrew law, living out under the law, to being free to live a life in Christ. And we find that transition taking place. And one of the books that gives the big transition is the book of Hebrews, which shows that need to leave Judaism behind them. Then we also find Romans. The book of Romans through Jude is what we call the epistles. The epistles are letters that the apostles wrote. They were either written to churches in a particular area, or they were written to particular church leaders. And in these letters, we find instruction for how we can live to please God during the church age, and that is the epistles. So it's instruction for living in the age in which we're living. Then, of course, the last book of the Bible, Revelation. We read a little bit of that this morning in Sunday school. Revelation, the book of end times. We find, first of all, the church. As you begin in the first three chapters, instruction for the church, but then the church is taken out of the way, and then you find the events of the end time unfolding. Now, all of those things are profitable, or they're valuable to us, because we're able to see what God wants us to know, the things that He wants us to understand concerning Himself, concerning life, concerning future events, concerning eternity. He gives us the truth that we need to know. Now, Paul gives us in this passage, he gives us several things to show us how profitable it is. Now, he says all Scripture is given in verse 16 by inspiration of God and is profitable. Well, you back up just a little bit. How is it profitable? He says, but continue thou in verse 14 in things which thou hast learned and hast been assured, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Now, I want you to notice the first one when he talks about profitable. It's profitable to instruct us about salvation. Do you realize what it would be like to never have the Word of God? And they say approximately half the world does not have John 3:16, the world's population. You have many copies. But the way of salvation, how did you hear the way of salvation? Someone had to come and tell you what the Bible said, or you had to read what the Bible said. You would be on your way to hell if you did not have the Word of God to instruct you and teach you how you could have everlasting life. Now, how valuable is that? See, you can't put a price on it. When I get to heaven, I will understand totally what I, not only what I escaped, but also where I went and how wonderful heaven really is and how ungodly I was and how I did not deserve it. But see, you would not know about Christ. You would not know the way of salvation unless someone gave you the Word of God and gave you the truth. And see, it is so valuable because it gives the truth of salvation. It proves our need. It proves our sinfulness. It proves God's righteousness. It reveals us the way of salvation through Christ alone. And you say, talk about valuable. And I don't know what valuable that you have or I would have that you can put much money on. You say, well, my family. Well, let's talk about a monetary possession. What do you have? You say, well, I have $1 million, $2 million. What is that compared to eternity? Let's just say you had to, or we're going to go pay for a resort. And you're going to go spend a couple weeks at a resort. How much is that going to cost? You go to heaven for eternity. How much is that worth? Can you imagine the splendor of heaven for all eternity and you never paid a thing for it? It was free through the work of Christ. And see, it is all profitable because it's all inspired, but it teaches us the way of salvation. It also gives us the truth of what we need to know about God. It says, for doctrine, it's profitable for doctrine. Now, what is doctrine? Doctrine usually means when it's referred to in Scripture, when you read the term, the basic things that God wants us to know about himself and about life and about the future. That's what doctrine means, the basic truth of Scripture. And if you read the passage of 1 and 2 Timothy, you'd find Timothy is told not to get caught up or hung up on things that don't matter. He is to give himself to the truth that's very clear, very plain, and to stay away from things that people argue about and people don't know the answer to. He's supposed to teach doctrine. Now you say, what is a doctrine? Well, we have in the Word of God, one doctrine is the Bible. What do we need to know about the Bible? It is called bibliology, and we've been spending time on it. Another one is about God himself. That's theology proper. What does the Bible tell us? What does God want us to know about the Bible? And what does he want us to know about himself? And you'll find just the attributes of God. Who God is and what God is like. And you can just go on and on and on to find out how wonderful he is. You'll find in the Word of God about the things we need to know about Christ. His birth, his life, his teaching, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. That's Christology. And of course, we can find about the Holy Spirit, what we need to know about the Holy Spirit working in our life and in our age. That's called pneumatology and angelology or angels, the doctrine of angels. You can learn about angels. What does God say about angels? And I was just reading when I was reading the Psalms last week about the angel of the Lord encampeth round about those who fear him and love him and live for him. Can you imagine that an angel is encamped around about you? Now, the way sometimes we drive, praise God, we have an angel there. I think, like to think there's one on each bumper. I do not know, but I do know this. The angel of the Lord encamps around about me. There's a lot about angels. There's also about Satan himself, Satanology, and demons, demonology, and about man, anthropology. And, of course, there's sin, harmatology, and salvation, soteriology. And this also about the church, the ecclesia, and about future events, ecclesiology, and eschatology. You say all of those are doctrines, are basic truths of Scripture, of things that God wants us to know about himself and about life and about the future. That's doctrine. And so I have in the Word of God, I have the way of salvation. which I can't put a price tag on, and the things I need to know about life and about living for Him and about God Himself and about the things that He wants us to know and future events. But also it says this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable or valuable for doctrine, for reproof. Now, what's the word reproof? Reproof is rebuking us of sin. Where would we be if no one ever checked us and said no? I think growing up, how many times my mom or my dad had to say no. Now, let's just say they never said no. Do you realize what a rebel we would probably be if there were never a checks or balance? If you never had a law that you had to obey? If you never had a rule that you had to obey? And you totally were able to do whatever you wanted to do, when you wanted to do it, the way you wanted to do it, and no one would stop you. Do you realize where you would be? See, praise God, God has given us the Word of God to bring about our freedom. Because through Christ, we can be not only free from sin's penalty, but we can be free from sin's power in our life through the work of the Holy Spirit. We can learn what is right and we can learn what is wrong. The Word of God reproves us. It teaches us about sin. Now, sorry to say, in any culture where the Bible is removed, what's the end? It is destruction. It ends in you have to have a tyrant come on the scene with a rod of iron, and he has to rule with an iron fist because man cannot control themselves. Man left to himself will always go to destruction. But praise God, we have the Word of God to teach us right from wrong, how we can live a life to please Him and live a life that is free, live a life that will be blessed. Also then, correction. He says this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's not only inspired, but it's profitable. It teaches us the way of salvation. We have the doctrine that we need to learn, but also reproving us, telling us right and wrong, but also correction. Correction is to correct us from error. There is a lot of false teaching. And you'll note that the false teachers, you can usually find who is a false teacher or what cult, what makes it a cult, is their view of God and their view of Jesus Christ. They'll always be wrong on Christ. You just start right where the doctrine of Christ is and you'll usually find the truth. Because if they're wrong about Christ, listen, they're a cult. And it tells us, instructs us, what is truth? What is error? So you can study God's Word and you can find what is right and what is wrong, what is sin and what is not a sin. But I can also find the truth about doctrine, about what a person believes, that I can be corrected and corrected into doing and having a right belief system. Why? By studying the Bible. Correction, correct from error. There's a lot of error. I saw an advertisement last night when I was watching the news or TV just a little bit. There's going to be a show coming on that is going to be a documentary on Jonestown. As you note, what happened at Jonestown? Well, we had a particular leader and they fed them all. They had their last communion service, which was laced with cyanide. And many people died. And of course, there's going to be a large, couple hour documentary on what took place and who was behind it, Jonestown. And what a sad, sad story. But false doctrine and false teachers, how can we find that out, the truth? Well, by studying God's Word. And the more I know God's Word, the more I can be corrected from false teaching. Then this one and the last one is instruction. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable or valuable for doctrine, the basic teaching of God's Word, for reproof, that's correcting me from sin and correcting me from error, correction. But then the next one is this, It is that the man of God, for instruction in righteousness, or what is that? That is to instruct me in the right way to live. I can find in the Word of God how I am to live a life that's going to please God. A life that is going to bring honor and glory to His name. A life that is going to be blessed by God. And a life that is going to, one of these days, go to heaven to be with Christ for all eternity because of the work of Christ. And so I can find the instruction that I need in God's Word on how to have a wonderful life. How I can have abundant Christian life. You say, how valuable is the Bible? Well, you can't put a price on it. It's the most valuable possession that you have because you find the way of salvation and you find what God wants us to know about the truth and the things that God wants us to know about sin, right and wrong, and about false teaching, correcting of error, and instructing on the right way to live. See, you can't put a price tag on it. You cannot value high enough the Word of God. I don't know what price you'd say. Is it worth more to you than anything in this world? Well, do you realize the Gospels say this, that what would a man give in exchange for his soul? See, if a man gained the whole world and lost his own soul, he would count himself, sorry to say, tragically shortened. And see, we need to understand the value of God's Word. It is God's Word. And Paul encouraged Timothy, this book is more valuable than you can even comprehend because you find through the Word of God the way of salvation. You find what God wants you to know. You find what's right and what's wrong, and you also find what is truth and what's error. But all you need to do, how to live a life to please God. That brings a third one, not only profitable because it's inspired, because it's valuable, but also because it equips. Here's what he says, that the man of God may be perfectly furnished unto all good works. In other words, one of the reasons the Bible is so valuable is it equips us to do the work that God has called you to do. Wherever you are or wherever God leads you, God has given you the guidebook to succeed wherever it is, that you might be thoroughly equipped to do whatever God calls you to do. It's given here. Perfect, that's complete. Thoroughly furnished, that is completely prepared to do all good works, to do whatever God wants you or calls you to do. See, that's the value of the book. And you'll never, ever be able to measure. It's inspired of God, and it is so it's profitable because it's inspired, but it also makes you totally complete. And so this book, you'll never measure its value. Next week, we're going to spend some time, Lord willing, on my responsibility in light of the value of God's Word. Let's pray. If I do, thank you so much for your Word. Let me do thank you so much for the privilege to preach and teach. And Lord, as we look into the Word this morning, we just ask you to burn in our heart and our mind, Lord, the value of what we hold. Lord, so often we forget or don't think about, Lord, how good you have been to us to live in this great country where we can have so many copies without fear. And Lord, because through the Word of God, we're able to hear the way of salvation. We're able to be taught the things that we need to know from you. And Lord, to know what is right and wrong and to know what is right according to doctrinal truth and error. And Lord, to be instructed in how we can live a life that will please you. And Lord, how we can be totally equipped to do the work that you call us to do. And Lord, we ask you to bless. Lord, help us to love you. Help us to love your Word. And Lord, help us to give ourselves to know it and read it and learn it, Lord, that we might be blessed. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.